Well, it's a privilege to be here this morning and share the word with you. My name is Dave Moore. I am one of the elders here. I'm a pastor, previously a pastor, and I currently serve as a director of a Pittsburgh Urban Christian School in Wilkinsburg. Pastor Josh is not with us today, not because he's running the marathon, although we could start rumors, but instead he's going to be performing the wedding of one of our staff people, Mark McCallis, later today. Today we're going to look at the story of the prodigal son, or the lost son, or the son of the loving, or the loving father, or the judgmental older brother. It's called many different things, and whatever you want to call it, really, because each of us finds ourselves in one or more of the characters there. But there's one universal character. It's the lost son, and that's who I want to talk about today. You can turn with me to Luke chapter 15. This is a story within a story. I want to broaden the context a little bit because Jesus tells this parable in response to an event. The beginning of chapter 15 says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him," him being Jesus. "And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives tax collectors and sinners, and he eats with them.'" So that's the context. A very short image. Jesus welcoming the undesirables to him. And the Pharisees, the scribes, religious leadership of the day, getting all bent out of shape about it. So Jesus told them three parables. The first is about a shepherd who had 100 sheep, but he lost one. And then he throws a party when he finds it. The second was about a woman who had 10 coins but loses one. And then she throws a party when she finds it. The third one is about a man with 2 sons who lost one, who then throws a party when he finds him. That's the one we're going to read now. Luke 15, verse 11. Remember, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees who grumbled about him welcoming tax collectors and sinners. And he said, "There was a man who had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that's coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us celebrate and eat. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music playing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I can go celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for bringing us around your word, for the way that Jesus spoke universally, for the gift of piercing our hearts. Pray, Lord, that what we hear today would be your words, not mine, not our own. Give us the ears to hear and a heart that's ready to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a moment and grasp some images here. The look on the father's face when his son asked him for his share. That daily bacchanalia in the far country. The coincidence of empty pockets and famine. The young man asking for a job feeding pigs. The doubts running through his mind as he journeyed home from that far country, rehearsing his speech as he drew nearer. The father seeing his son's gaunt frame for the first time. The looks the servants exchanged when they were told to rig a party. The older brother coming in from the field. The posture and demeanor of father and son as each man explained his position. And the look on Jesus' face throughout the telling. And that moment, when the young man is standing in the pig field, surrounded by pigs, carrying pig food, and smelling pig smells. Stay there. Because this is where it says he came to himself. I love that line. Some translations say he came to his senses. He came to himself. He was finally in his right mind. Now, this parable is one of the best known in all of Scripture, and writers and artists and philosophers and preachers and Christians for generations have imagined themselves into it. You might hear yourself in there as well. Perhaps imagining yourself as an older brother, standing in judgment against those who have done wrong. Now, his anger, you may have noticed, is directed more at his father than against his brother. And it certainly seems he got his comeuppance when dad reminded him, ironically, that all I have is yours. Your brother's already squandered his. Everything you see here, it's all yours. I hope some of you can resonate with the father. Just thankful that one he loved so much has returned at all, let alone returning with a humbled heart. Running down the lane to meet him, there's not a better image in the Bible. Rembrandt, for example, was inspired by the thought of the reunion. Maybe you see yourself as another character I hope it's not the pigs. But maybe it's the servants exchanging looks. Just an innocent bystander to the father's happiness and the brother's unhappiness. One's sadness turned into joy, the other's complacently turned to contempt. All of these are worthwhile contemplations. This parable is so rich and diverse, you can spend days in it. But today we're going to keep a laser focus on the younger son, the one who was lost and was found, because he's the only universal character here. We're warned against playing the older brother, and we can aspire toward being the father. But every one of us has been in the pigsty, whether we know it or not. And every one of us has to decide to leave it, whether we know it or not. Over the past 4 weeks, Pastor Josh has reminded us of the most important news in the world, that Jesus lived, died, was raised, and lives for us. That through him we can receive the forgiveness of sins and be reconciled to the Father who created us, from whom we've run, whose inheritance we've squandered. That's the good news. So what now? Let's go back to the field again and consider what the son realizes. How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. There's at least four things to notice here, and you've probably noticed more, but I don't have time for all of them. Just four today. First, he concludes that it's harder to keep going than it is to return home. He concludes that it's harder to keep running than it is to just return home. He could keep trying to make this pig gig work, but an amazing thing occurs to him. Sacrificing his pride looks easier than stubbornly staying away. Now, how tragic it is to think that someone would sacrifice everything except his pride. Yet we've all been there, haven't we? And here's something really important. The son hadn't run out of options. He had options. He could have stayed right there and tried to make it work. He could have imagined that he was just one good break away from showing them that he could pull it off. He could have kept running. He could have died with his pride intact. Now, we like to think that if we were really pinned down, that we would choose repentance, that we would choose to return. But we're great at looking for escape routes. And we excel at finding reasons not to swallow our pride. He could have. But he decided that the pain of staying the course was greater than the pain of changing it. And not really changing himself, because that's work that God does, but changing course, committing himself to return to the place where he had sinned against heaven and earth, where he figured that the odds were better at receiving a warm meal than if he just kept running away. The son realized that the pain of change was less than the pain of staying the same. Second, he believes his father is worth the risk. The question of God's integrity, will God actually forgive me, ironically keeps us up at night. We expect the scolding, and it's certainly what the older son is expecting. He'd seen his father's grief, which had resulted from his brother's callousness. He knew what broke his father's heart. A party was the last thing he had expected. But before we're too hard on him, there's something common about this too, isn't there? Something Jonah about it. Now, Jonah, you might remember, was sent to preach in Nineveh to the heathens, and finally, he does so, and then he sits up on a ridge overlooking the city, waiting for it to be blown to bits. But instead, who knows, the king of Nineveh says. God may turn and relent and turn his fierce anger so that we may not perish. And when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil way, God relented the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. We're not focusing on the older brother necessarily, but he, with Jonah, gives us a window into what the younger brother understood. In fact, you could say that it was the brother who ran away who knew the father's heart better than the one who had stayed, because he trusted his father to be just, and now he knew he could trust his father to be merciful. Third, he recognizes what he can and can't do. He doesn't say, I'll return to my father and apologize, and he'll reinstate me as his son and heir, and he'll give me a fresh start, and everything will be just like it always was. He says, I'd rather be a servant in my father's house than a son in this pigsty. Repentance is not a magic spell. Confession is not a talisman. We don't say, Father, I've sinned, while rubbing a magic lamp out of which Jesus will emerge and grant us our wishes. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't say God has to forgive us. It says he is faithful to. The power, the sovereignty is all in his hands. All the Son says is what the psalmist recognized 1,000 years earlier, that one day in the courts of the Lord was better than 1,000 elsewhere. Fourth, the Son knew that he was the one who had to return. His father was not going to catch up to him. The son knew that he was the one who had to go back. This is well stated in the next chapter when Jesus reminds the Pharisees, it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void. The father isn't going to meet the son where he is, any more than God is going to change his law to catch up to us. And you're allowed to think of this not as a curse, but as a comfort, because you always know where home is. You can wander far afield. You can throw everything away. You can curse God. You can squander every blessing that he's given you. And know without a doubt that when you come to yourself and return, you will find that God has not moved. And home is right where you left it. And it's with this knowledge that it says the son arose and went back to his father. He didn't just journey on. His father didn't suddenly meet him where he was. If the son really wanted to be reconciled with his father, if he really wanted home, then he had to go back to the point where he left it originally. He wasn't going to find his father without going back and admitting that he never should have left in the first place. This is repentance. It's returning to the point of injury and admitting that I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you, and there's nothing I can do about that. I can't change what I have done. I can only ask for your forgiveness now. It's the story of David in Psalm 51. Against you have I sinned. It's Israel's story, the law and the prophets from Moses through John. It's not enough to stop running. If the son wants to be fed, clothed, and housed, if he wants home, if he wants to be reconciled, he has to return. He now has to walk home. When the running stops, the walking begins. So return, lost soul. God has not moved. He is faithful both to his law and to his mercy. Father, forgive me. I didn't know what I was doing. Think about this not only in your heavenly relationships, but in your earthly ones. Whom have you wronged? And how do you go about making that right? To close, let's go back to that context again. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Yes, he does. God be praised. So what now? Let's pray. Father, each one of us has sinned against you. In word and deed, in action and inaction, just as we prayed early in the service. Have mercy on us. Thank you that you are faithful from age to age to forgive us when we turn, when we come to ourselves. Thank you for creating us, for making yourself known to us, for loving us, for sending your son to die, for raising him from the dead that we could have new life. Thank you for being faithful into eternity. In the name of Jesus Christ, we praise you. Amen.